Beschen crucis de nimicis nostris liminus Deus noster. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins. May the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me. Today, we go from the Trinity on earth, Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, to the Blessed Trinity of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we picture those three individuals. We make the immediate connection with the reality of God in heaven. And with this vision, as we see Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, with the Blessed Trinity kind of hovering over them, with this vision, we can immediately, right now, renew our vocation, renew our yes to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But hand in hand with Joseph, who prompts us to do this, because that yes is something that he was so used to doing in his life. It was a yes that colored everything he did. A yes that was a response to a call, a correspondence, a response to a divine invitation, a summons from the Father, a mission guided by the Holy Spirit, and driven really by the purpose of the Son. His Son here on earth, of which he was the foster father. We know, as we begin our prayer, how perplexed he was when he saw Mary pregnant for the first time. It was a visual scene he saw. She looked different than she normally did. It wasn't from one day to the next. He was noticing something and beginning to wonder, and bit by bit, as that pregnancy was becoming ever more evident, his dilemma was becoming more and more clear to him. We could say that it was like a painful contradiction between what he saw and the beauty of what he knew. It's as though he could not process, or he did not know how to process, the appearance with what he knew about Mary. But it wasn't a sudden appearance. You know, sometimes you meet somebody that you don't know is pregnant, and you haven't seen this person in quite a while, and a woman that that works somewhere, and boom, you see, oh wow, yeah. But this was not the same. It was a progressive revelation of something that he never imagined. But he did understand that there was something going on here that was beyond him. He knew, of course, that he was not the Father, yet he could not resolve this with what he knew about Mary, and that he could not imagine that she would have allowed something. Maybe he thought there was some violence going on, but she would have told him, and then he felt bad that he couldn't protect her. It was really something quite unique that he experienced there. And what he saw, like the conclusion he came to, as is often said, is that there was something going on here that he was not worthy to be part of. He knew also the dangers that Mary faced if he were to divorce her publicly. He knew the dangers of that in that society. And I imagine him as a man who had a deep sense of justice. He had a deep sense of truth, of doing what was right. And he could not imagine seeing any harm come to his wife. He just couldn't imagine it. He said, no, he really did have a deep sense of being a protector. So, as he said, he would deal with this privately. He had made up his mind. He thought, okay, I'll find some way of doing this. I know a private place. I know some place that you know, we'll just part ways privately. And probably he'd already thought of the process of how this would happen. But doing that was also a way of saying that this is something beyond him. But in this agony, you can describe it like that, it was a time of agony for him, this time of inner upheaval. We know he prayed. To pray during a time of upheaval, inner consternation is very difficult. You know, your soul has to be in peace, your soul has to be calm. And if it's tense, if it's worried, if it's in like this kind of upheaval, it's very difficult. But I think he was a man of interior life. And nevertheless, despite this, he managed to stay serene. And yet, it's as though he let God fill him, nevertheless, with sorrow. It's one of the sorrows, the first sorrow of St. Joseph, the sorrow of seeing his wife pregnant like that. It's one of the seven sorrows that was developed over the centuries. It's a sorrow that we, you know, when you say the seven Sundays of St. Joseph is one of the sorrows and then one of the joys as well. But it's a sorrow that may have brought him some kind of doubt or some confusion. But more, the sorrow was the pain or the anxiety, I suppose, of having to leave Mary, of leaving without her. That's the sorrow. St. Matthew says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now he understands his mission. The words suddenly made him sigh, a sigh of relief, made him breathe. He suddenly breathed easy. Certainly didn't understand everything there, what this all was all about, but he certainly understood his place. You are to give him the name Jesus. Do not be afraid to take Mary. Okay, so it doesn't explain still exactly what happened, why, but he thereby reaffirms her purity. She's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is to give his son the name Jesus. Do not fear. You still have a place. You can stay with her. Do not be afraid to take her. You have a mission. You have a purpose. This was more appealing to him, the fact that he had a purpose, that he had this to do. More appealing to him probably than the fact that she was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is as though his vocation now became eminently clear. And it's like Pope Francis, his ministry as Pope was inaugurated today, back in 2013, 11 years ago. Imagine being named Pope. I mean, such a difficult task, but he experienced that weight on his shoulders, but suddenly God gave him a special grace, something that invigorated him somehow. He would have thought, Pope Francis, how can I ever do this? How can, you know, I shepherd the universal church, I'm old, I've already been a bishop, I've seen the problems of being a bishop, I know it's hard, and you know, now, is this possible, the whole universal church? I mean, this is crazy, you know. Yet, nevertheless, by understanding this, he felt deeply energized because God had given him the grace to do this. He suddenly did not worry about his own limitations, his defects, his weaknesses. And he felt energized also by virtue of the fact that his ministry was inaugurated on March 19th, 2013. Somewhere there too, St. Joseph must have felt energized. We must feel energized today as we reaffirm and say yes, that same yes that we said years ago. We must be re-energized because God has given us a special and unique grace. And we pray right now that all those who have to renew their vocation, their dedication to the work, that they feel re-energized, that they're here for a purpose, that they're here for a mission. God has given them a mission. That the work always stay institutionally very stable, even though we've had to go through, you know, juridical changes. And nevertheless, we want to stay institutionally stable, but interiorly, that the members of the work always feel this energy that comes from the Holy Spirit, a kind of energy that comes from a sense of purpose, that why are we here after all? Because God has called us. I mean, that's it. Like Joseph. After he had considered this, the angel appeared to him in a dream. So after he was kind of turning around in circles and wondering and unsure, the angel came and said, it's okay. You do have a mission. We pray right now that all those brothers of ours who have to renew today, that they may feel energized, that they may feel the Holy Spirit telling them, it's okay, you do have a mission. Yes, you have defects. Yes, you have limitations. Yes, you have little time. Yes, the apostolate is difficult. Yes, there are things you don't fully understand, but you have a purpose. You have a purpose in the church. You shall name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Just that the angel had said, you know, what you see in Mary has been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. We have to feel, too, that what we have received is a divine vocation, that the Holy Spirit is not foreign to what we have received. Suddenly, Joseph was energized. He did not worry about his limitations. He did not worry about his weaknesses or his defects, of which I think he had very few, but I've always imagined that St. Joseph in this moment recited Psalm 23 in front of this now new mystery that appears to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through a dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. Because you need your rod and your staff, you walk, but God is with us in our divine vocation. God is with us. Joseph today, in a particular way, is inviting us to recite this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. We pray that our brothers feel that their soul today is refreshed. Because before our vocation, God leaves us wanting of nothing. So today, Joseph helps us to unmask a temptation that is sometimes subtle, which is a common Christian temptation in the Christian vocation, and one into which perhaps people might fall into. It's the temptation that in the situation which is now ours, our personal situation, our family situation, our work, our professional situation, indeed the apostolic difficulties we may face, that since I have these difficulties, since I have this problem, this challenge, then, well, that means I lack something essential. And because of this, our progress, our possibility of blossoming, of being effective, of being apostolic, well, then it's going to be denied us. Because I have this weakness, because I have this character flaw. It could be a health issue. It could be family responsibilities. It could be our own sense that we just lack time with our professional demands or the stress we undergo. Or just, you know, our perceived lack of qualities. We may fall into the temptation of comparing ourselves with others in the work. We feel we lack these virtues, these gifts, these strengths. It's as though we don't have the ability to do something beautiful for God. We picture Joseph able to do something beautiful for God, but me, no. I'm from the 20th century. I'm from the 21st century. I have these attachments. I have these weaknesses that are too anchored in me. I can't change them. And maybe we think we can't change them in others. We can do things. I can do certain things, but I can't do anything beautiful for God. And we can be tempted. In one of his books, Jacques Philippe describes it like this: I am not satisfied with my life, with my person, with my circumstances, and I live constantly with the feeling that as long as things are as such, it will be impossible for me to live truly and intensely. I feel underprivileged compared to others, and I carry in me the constant nostalgia of another life, more privileged, where finally I could do things that are worthwhile. You know, the nostalgia of another life. We walk in the street and we see a family, nostalgia of another life, which is not ours, but as a result, we can procrastinate in the apostolate. In our mortifications that are part of my mission, a part of my service, you could say, part of my apostolate, I may think that the real life of a new Mary is somewhere else, is elsewhere, not here, with these struggles that I have, with these weaknesses, with this problem, with this lack of time. We could need to be more concentrated or focused or honed in on the negative situation that could happen to us. And we develop that nostalgia of another life. Somebody who's a conservative tweeted a photo as he was walking down the street. He took his phone out and saw ahead of him a couple with two young children, and the little girl was 5 years old or something, dressed in a nice little dress, and little boy with what looked like a nice suit. They would look, you know, typical family that looked like they were on their way to church or something. And he took the photo from behind. And in the tagline, he said, "I don't know this family at all, but I'm sure they are conservative." You know? I am sure they are conservative. But one senses the nostalgia of another life, you know. And then who knows who that family is? Maybe they're drug addicts. I don't know. But, you know, but maybe he doesn't know anything about them, but he thinks they must be conservative. They must be something better than me. And as we circle our thoughts, we often, we can, when we don't think that we're good enough, we lack qualities and all that, well, we could end up in a circle of thoughts that circle too much around ourselves. And this, of course, renders us unhappy, envious, and discouraged about that nostalgia of another life. And we wonder if we're able to go forward. You kind of, maybe we feel like contraband. You know? We feel our vocation just gets along, but we're kind of like a vocation that is just under the counter, under the table, not really above board. We smuggle in our norms of piety just barely, at the wrong time, too late, and without much joy, and maybe with little vigor. The real life we think to ourselves is elsewhere. We tell ourselves, "I'm living on reserves." And often, you know, it would take so little for everything to be different, for me to make progress with giant steps, to have a different outlook, to have a true reframe, a view of my situation, which is one of confidence, which is one of hope. The Lord is my shepherd. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. He refreshes my soul. If we could live our life like that today, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That he really refreshed my soul. I could take giant steps. I could have a new outlook of confidence and hope based on that certitude that God is my shepherd, that I will lack nothing in my life, in my vocation. And then the doors would open to an unhoped for sense of responsibility, of spiritual growth, of joy, of supporting my brothers. And how is that going to happen? How are we going to do that reframe? Well, it's in one line of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Joseph awoke from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, taking his wife to himself. He awoke and he did. Obedience made it possible for him to surmount his difficulties and, of course, spare Mary. He awoke. He just did it. But we ask our Lord, we ask St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother, the Trinity of Earth, to wake us up now from sleep, especially if we're sleeping right now at this very moment. Wake us up from any lethargy, any passivity in our life. And like Joseph, we get up, we wake up, we waken our heart, examine our conscience, and see if we are really doing the Lord's bidding. If we have listened to his plans for us, his desire, his dream for us. Joseph awoke. It was the first example of the heroic minute. You get up right away, just to be awake and to be conscious is not enough. It says here he woke from sleep, but it is assumed that he got out of bed right away. Because I was thinking, well, it doesn't say anything about getting up, but in Latin it says, exurgens autem Joseph, a somno fecit. Exurgens. It doesn't sound too much like waking up. It sounds more like getting up. Exurgens autem Joseph, a somno fecit sicut precepit e Angelus Domini. So exurgens means get up, go, let's do it. Pope Francis said in his encyclical letter on St. Joseph, he said, Joseph is certainly not passively resigned, but courageously and affirmatively proactive. In our lives, acceptance and welcome can be an expression of the Holy Spirit's gift of fortitude. Only the Lord can give us the strength needed to accept life as it is, with all its contradictions, frustrations, and disappointments. But that getting up, that exurgens, as Latin says, is not the confidence in merely in ourselves, in our willpower. It's a confidence based on the conviction that our vocation is really a divine vocation, that just comes from God. You know, it's something from God. And we have to have the hope that God does not use us as his instruments simply to do our thing, but he uses us as instruments to do Opus Dei, even if we encounter our frailty, even if we encounter the frailty of others. We have to be patient with ourselves, patient with others. And we renew and we refresh and we engage our vocation now, especially as we know today will be made public the new commission. It's got to be a really important day to pray for those names as we hear them. We don't know them yet. I haven't heard anything yet. Of course, it's too early yet. But, we are part of the history of salvation. Pope Francis says, the history of salvation is worked out in hope against hope through our weaknesses. All too often, he says, we think that God works only through our better parts. Yet most of his plans are realized in and despite our frailty. Thus, St. Paul could say, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. So God has given us his grace. Afterwards, St. Joseph received another dream, another message. There too he had to get up, another heroic minute, go into Egypt. And then after Egypt, okay, now you can go back, again, get up again. This is what we want to ask him today, that he refresh our soul, engage us really in awareness of everything we do today is part of that divine mandate. Like St. Joseph, let's get out of bed, let's go, let's do it. Not because of our qualities, our abilities, our strengths, all our virtues. But because of the mission that God has given us. And we do this, of course, with the intercession of St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother, who's with us all the time.